Chapter 4, Welcome Home. Janice had promised to fully heal Stavius's leg and transform him back into a 17-year-old boy instead of a crippled old man, but they were nearly at Staven's old village before they had enough privacy to do this. There were crowds of people returning from the ruined festivities, and most were moving slowly. The magic blight had destroyed the entire crowd's comfortable walking shoes and transformed the smoothly paved roads into rough dirt trails. People were trying to navigate sharp rocks and muddy ruts barefoot or, at best, wearing pieces of cloth wrapped around their feet. There were as many people resting on the side of the road as traveling on it. The magical blight didn't make it all the way to Staven's village, however, and people scurried homeward more quickly once they passed out of the affected area. Their shoes didn't reappear, but at least the roads were smoothly paved. The lessened traffic created a few pockets of isolated privacy where Janice could transform Stavius. Stavius decided to resume his identity of Staven, since he used to live here, but insisted that Janice remain disguised as a girl. They had already introduced Janice as a girl named Chantel to Staven's mother, and even though it was unlikely she would ever leave the city, she might have mentioned it to a returning neighbor. Janice wasn't pleased with his suggestion, but begrudgingly agreed that it made sense. Stavius's limp and the rough roads meant that it was late in the day by the time they arrived. The boys had missed lunch and were looking forward to eating some dinner and having a rest as they rounded the corner onto Staven's old street. Janice was the first to comment that something was amiss, even though he had never been there before. He said, "Dude, I thought you said you lived at the far end of the street and that your house was a shabby one." Janice was right. Staven's house had always been the neighborhood embarrassment because he couldn't perform magic. His place had a scraggly garden and a broken picket fence. His lawn was never properly mown, and his house had needed repainting for years while everyone else's property was immaculately manicured. Now, his home was the nicest in the neighborhood. Everything was perfectly maintained, and nothing was out of place. Stavius wasn't sure what was going on, but that was his house, and he was going to find out. He raced down the street and launched up the stairs to the porch two steps at a time. He grabbed the door, but it was locked, and he momentarily froze, not knowing what to do. A woman's voice emanated from the house saying that she would be right there and to get off the porch with those muddy shoes. A moment later, an old, stern-looking woman appeared and shooed them off her porch. Stavius took a step back before remembering that this was his house. The village couldn't have sold it after he left. They wouldn't dare. "No," he harshly replied. "This is my house, and I demand that you leave right now." "Nonsense, Staven," answered the woman. "I've owned this house longer than you've been alive. Now get those shoes off my porch and clean yourselves up. You can't come inside as filthy as that." Stavius's mouth opened and closed several times like a goldfish until Janice grabbed his arm and pulled him the rest of the way off the porch. Janice executed a cleansing spell and the day's dirt and sweat slid off them onto the ground. They took their shoes off and began to climb the stairs again.
"Tsk, tsk, don't leave that mess on my front walk," scolded the old woman.
Janice turned around and brushed his hand towards the sticky puddle of filth, and it immediately transformed into a swarm of butterflies which disappeared into the darkening sky. "Much better," the woman said with an approving nod. "Now, come inside. You're late, and your dinner is cold." The two confused boys followed her into the house as Stavius marveled at the nice, straight, and substantial front porch. It had been a sagging mess for as long as he had lived here, and he had been avoiding using the front door out of fear that it would collapse. He started to ask the woman's name, but was shushed until they had all eaten. It was the best meal Stavius could remember since their meal in Clothden. They dined in silence, but Stavius was ready to get some answers as soon as dinner was over. He cleared his throat to speak, but was interrupted by the strange woman, who said, "I know you have many questions, but before we begin, show them to me." "What?" asked Janice. "Show me the talismans," she insisted. "What talismans?" Stavius asked in a panic. "I'm just trying to show my fiancé my home." The woman snorted and said, "Is that why Janice is dressed like a girl? Well, you'll have to do better than that, you two. Now, why don't you stop fooling around and show yourself, Janice, unless you like dressing up?" Janice wasn't sure who this woman was or what was going on, but he happily transformed back into a boy. "How did you know, and
"Who are you?" asked Stavius. "Oh, I know who you are, Staven, although I don't know what you call yourself when you're conjoined," the woman answered. "And this must be Janus, because there is only one male hero in the prophecy, and he is not a girl, even though he seems to enjoy dressing like one," the woman laughed. The boys still didn't know who this strange woman was, who seemed to know far too much about them, but she didn't seem threatening. Still, neither was eager to show her the talismans, and silently sat there not knowing what to do. "Oh, very well. I'm Terra, and I welcome you to my home," the woman sighed with a curtsy and a flourish of her arm. The boy's eyes widened as they stared at her until she finally broke down laughing. "Gods, I love doing that," she guffawed. "I'm a traveler just like you two, and Terra is my conjoined name. Staven should remember me from my host name, Tessa," she added. Staven was relieved that he wasn't talking to a god, but still had no idea who she was and shook his head as he stared at her. This infuriated the woman, who began ranting that, "I can't believe she didn't even tell you who I am, even though I agreed to let you use my house. But of course she wouldn't. Why would I think she would change her ways?" Terra, or Tessup, continued muttering along those lines while she picked up the dishes and threw them onto the counter until Stavius found enough courage to speak up. "Excuse me, but you keep saying that this is your house. It really is mine. It's been in my family forever, and my mother gave it to me several years ago. Perhaps you know her. Her name is Clarice Shrirov Arburnus." The woman angrily turned towards Stavius and growled, "I knew Clarice long before she had anything to do with the Arburnus family, and she is just as greedy and self-absorbed now as she was as a little girl. I was the one who insisted that Clarice send you away when you were a child and gave her permission to let you live here. This house was given to me by my mother before she died. It has been in my family for generations. But Clarice never even mentioned my name to you, did she?" Both boys were shocked by Tara's admission, and, for once, Janus showed restraint and said nothing. Stavius, however, was furious. "You were the one who separated me from my family? You were the one who forced me to grow up all alone? Do you have any idea how scary it was for me to be here all by myself for that first year? Do you have any idea of what you put me through? Who are you? Why did you do this to me?" he asked. His voice rose in volume and pitch with every question. Terra looked at him and said in a forlorn voice, "Yes, that was me. I also knew that you would find a way to survive, which couldn't have happened if you remained with her." Stavius was still dumbfounded, but Janus had regained his slightly obnoxious attitude and said, "Hey, dude, I've met your mother, and I think this lady might have a point." "Thank you, Janus. I am sure I am right. Clarice has been a conniving and controlling individual focused on acquiring power ever since she was a little girl. I genuinely believe that she has no capacity for empathy or emotional connection to anyone other than herself. She is brilliant, and she is one of the most powerful magicians in the world, but she's a complete sociopath. You were an embarrassment to her, Staven, and your lack of magical abilities would have eventually impeded her path toward power. She would have had you discreetly and conveniently killed without a second thought if she thought someone knew of your magical deficiency," said Terra. "How do you know all this?" Stavius hoarsely whispered. "Because she's my baby sister," admitted Terra as she sniffed back some tears. "Now, show me those talismans." Stavius couldn't believe what he had just learned, but glanced at Janus, and they silently agreed to comply. Stavius removed the necklace of Venus, and Janus pulled out the Spear of Mars and enlarged it to its full length. Terra admired the two objects for several seconds before saying, "You two have made wonderful progress, but you can't carry these around like this. Take off your shirts." The boys looked at each other, but acquiesced. Terra picked up the Spear of Mars and quickly shrunk it down to an eighth of its size. Janus recalled how he had struggled to reduce it to twice that length and began to appreciate the power of the woman standing before him. She held the spear next to Janus's left arm and closed her eyes. The spear began to glow, and his arm started to tingle. A moment later, the spear was gone, and he had a lifelike tattoo of it on his body. She repeated the process with the necklace of Venus around Stavius's neck and explained how they could retrieve the talismans at any time. She shared that all the magical energy within the talismans were now within their bodies, although it could only be withdrawn at a trickle. Thus, they could securely and discreetly carry the talismans while being sustained by them, should they ever find themselves outside of a magical well. Stavin looked at her and said, "So, you're my Aunt Tessup? Mother never even mentioned that she had a sister." Tara shook her head and said, "No, she wouldn't, would she?" The three of them sat around the table, sharing stories and insights about magic and families for several hours, until the events of the day caught up with the boys and they turned in. Tara stayed up a bit longer, reflecting on what Stavin had become, before going to bed herself. The next morning, they were eating breakfast in what felt like an unusually typical family setting when they were interrupted by a loud banging on the front door. It was the village mayor, who appeared distressed when Tara answered the door.
"Good morning, Tessup," he began. "There is a rumor going around that young Stavin and his fiancée arrived back in town last night, and I was wondering if it was true."
"And what if it was, Silas?" Tara tersely asked.
"Well, if it were true, then I would very much like to have a word with him."
"And would that word have anything to do with your proclamation? I seem to recall you threatened to skin the hide from his body unless he paid for all the Chiggin's damage."
"Well, no. I'm afraid that I might have been a little overzealous with that statement. It was a painful time for the community, you know."
"In other words, you want something from him, right?"
"Well, we've been having a slight issue with a pesky dragon ravaging our fields, and seeing that he is a pest exterminator and all," the mayor stuttered.
"Since my nephew is a dragon hunter, you would be willing to forgive all past claims against him if he can drive off this beast?" Tara quickly asked.
"Well, I'm not sure if I can speak for all the injured parties," began the mayor.
"Good day, Silas, and good luck with that dragon," said Tara as she began to close the door.
"But I can guarantee that the government of this fine village would block any of those claims, should your nephew succeed in removing this new hindrance to our livelihood," offered the mayor.
"Well, all I can do is ask," answered Tara as she closed the door. Stavius said,
"That was awesome, Aunt Tessup."
Janice added, "Yeah, it's probably just safe. We're supposed to meet her tonight out beyond the fields anyway." Tara suggested, "Well, then you should probably accept Silas's gracious offer, but let's finish breakfast first." Stavius asked, "But what about the mayor?" "Let him enjoy our nice new porch for a while," chuckled Tara. "You know, I'm not sure about your mom, but I really like your aunt," laughed Janice. Stavin agreed to the mayor's offer once they were done with breakfast, and the two of them, with Janice begrudgingly dressed as a girl again, headed out toward the fields. They had no sooner reached the farmland when Janice espied a large dragon circling the valley. "Hey, that's not safe," he said with fear in his voice.
"Nope. That's juice," answered Stavius as he reached out with his mind to say good morning to his dragon friend. A moment later, both boys were snatched by the dragon's massive talons and swept into the sky. A few minutes later, they were dropped on Juice's front lawn beside three startled girls and a dying dragon.